The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Economist magazine has published its annual ranking of the world's richest countries. Ireland has not even made the cut. It raises questions, as The Economist states itself, whether or not Ireland is truly a rich country. Well, to help us parse all of that is Economist Austin Hughes. Austin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So how did The Economist magazine, how did they define what constitutes a rich country?
They went through a couple of kind of arbitrary processes where they looked at GDP per head. They adjusted that then for prices. Out of that, they got a sense of what economies were, in their words, the strongest in the world. And they say that Ireland is excluded. They left it out of this list because they say the Irish figures are polluted by tax arbitrage.
You know, what does that mean?
What they mean is our GDP per head is overstated because of the influence of multinational companies in the Irish economy.
So did they leave us out then because they didn't know where to put us, but we're in there somewhere? Or do they leave us out because actually we're living in an illusion, a bubble?
Well, they left us out because I think they were in bad humour on a particular morning when they got up. The Economist has a fickle relationship with the Irish economy. If you go back as recently as December last year, it ranked Ireland the second strongest country in the world in terms of 2024 performance. And there they just included GDP growth. And in that instance, they were happy to include any tax pollution. The reality is, that famous quip, lies, damn lies and statistics, can be applied to the Irish economy in spades, but it can also be applied to most other economies. And if they done their homework a little bit better, they would have found that Ireland does rank within the richest economies. There are various adjustments that are made to the Irish numbers. Now, sorry, it's worth maybe pointing out, if you look at, say, IMF numbers or that, that Ireland in that instance tends to rank in the top two or three, similarly on UN or World Bank sort of numbers as well. So for last year, the IMF Ireland has number three, we rank there. But supposing you take out the multinational sector, if you take out the impact of foreign firms, we have this rather quirky Irish measure called GNI star or GNI adjusted, which takes out that element. We have a second one, which is modified domestic demand. And if you adjust the numbers to that, we would come in around number 15 or 16 on a world ranking, which is still pretty reasonable and still fairly representative of what happens. Because if you look at other measures, say life expectancy, we're around the top 20. Now, life expectancy isn't one-to-one correlated with income, but you do tend to find the richest countries have the greatest life expectancy. So we fare well in terms of that. I should also add the Economist magazine is, as I say, in bad form with Ireland on the morning it got up to do these sort of works, because it puts Qatar at number two. And we know since the World Cup, there's a lot of quibbles about the Qatari economy. And also making it into the list, the top 20 are Macau at number 12, which most of its earnings come from gambling activities as an offshore sort of gambling center for China. Guyana, the same, a population of 600,000 people that has had an oil boom. So the sense that these are among the world's richest economies and Ireland is out is a very selective.
And in terms of countries like Luxembourg, they figure it's tiny anyway, but the figures there are distorted by the number of people who are earning their money elsewhere and bringing it back across the border. That sort of thing. Luxembourg barely exists.
That's true. But it does generate income and it generates incomes for the citizens who remain there. There is an alternative measure. I'm sure your listeners are already reaching for the dial. when I say this, but Eurostat publishes what they call equivalized household income, which is basically if you take the number of people in each household and you get the middle household, the median household income, you get a measure of household income there, which tells you how much money most households have. And Ireland fares, it's about the second richest. There are still countries richer than it. Denmark, which fares very well in The Economist magazine, Luxembourg fares very well, Norway fares very well, but Ireland is about second or third there in terms of Europe. So the money that actually the median household, the household in the middle has, we fare quite well there. Now, there's still lots of distortions. You know, there's 160,000 people at Oasis at the weekend. There's twice that number in arrears on their electricity bills. Nobody is perfect. And this would be true of all economies. Yeah. You know,
Austin, there are so many different measures that you may apply. I mean, the number of people who take holidays, for example, who leave the island by air. I don't know how we compare in those particular statistical comparisons. But then you'll have the caveat saying, well, we are an island nation. If you want to go anywhere, you're probably going to fly or take a ferry, so you have to leave. So these kind of statistical measures, there are so many asterisks and, you know, footnotes to qualify them that it's often difficult to make sense of them.
Yeah, I think my big gripe with The Economist magazine is the fact that they sort of dismiss Ireland entirely. And as I say, they had a very different tune to sing back in December when we ranked second. But if you look at things like life expectancy, you know, that gives you some sort of metric of how well your society is doing and that. And we fare, you know, top 20, that sort of area. We fare reasonably well in terms of employment. We fare reasonably well in terms of income inequality. So in those sort of metrics, we fare well. We're far from problem free, but most economies are far from problem free.
I mean, Austin, certainly wealthy. You know, when you look at how people live, the question is on housing, how are we fixed? On health, how are we fixed? On education, how are we fixed? And do these kind of elements make it into those comparisons?
Well, certainly not in The Economist magazine. Now, again, we fare very well on education internationally. On housing, we don't fare quite as badly as we often think in terms of the increase in house prices. Yes, we're above average over the last 10 or 15 years for that, but there is an international housing crisis. And you talk about to people in most cities around the world, and they will talk about the problems about rent prices and that. So, you know, I think the message is no economy is perfect. We're actually doing reasonably well by international standards. You know, a bit done, a lot more to do. But the very important aspect, which a lot of these other countries don't have at the moment, we have a very strong employment position. We have a very strong government finance position. So it's up to us to get a lot of these other pieces right over the next while. The Norwegians who come out on top, they have the oil. The Qataris have the oil as well. Will they get it right? Will they make the right choices? You know, I think the reality for the Irish economy, it's doing fairly well. As I say, it's far from perfect, but we do have the scope to actually make things a lot better in the years ahead.
And that's the challenge for any government in this jurisdiction. But I want to read you some of the text coming in. I'm a subscriber to The Economist, and they've been excluding Ireland for years because of our distorted GDP. It's not a decision taken only for this report. That's from Dennis. Another one, which is interesting, how could we be a rich country with all the debt we have? We have poor infrastructure, poor health systems, and in the west of Ireland, we're going actually in transition to going backwards is what that texter's struggling to say. I'm not surprised Ireland isn't considered rich. There are rich individuals and rich companies in Ireland, but when you look at public services, it's awful. Terrible train and bus services, never on time, unreliable, terrible health system, water quality on its knees. It's why I love abroad, and presumably that texter goes regularly. What does it matter how wealthy our economy is relative to others? We've a lot going for us here, but surely we need to demonstrably look after weaker members of our society and use our resources to get our social basics right, like housing and access to healthcare. That's from Connor in Limerick. First of all, the debt. How do we square that? Because we know after the crash, we were massively in debt per head.
Yeah, well, we are still massively in debt per head in terms of money amounts, but our income is also higher. It's like the other story we have, that our prices are generally higher than most other European countries, but our income is also higher. We are a high income, high price economy, and our debt relative to our income is very low. So, you know, if you look at Mr. Trump, for example, I'm sure he has much higher debt than you or I have, Pat. You know, but in terms of his debt income, as at least the way he makes up his statistics, he is much wealthier than us. You know, so in that regard, we have high debt in absolute levels in terms of public debt, but the state of our economy allows to pay that. And if you look at the metrics in terms of the cost the government pays to borrow, it tells you that international financial markets believe that we're actually doing very well in terms of public debt. Private debt, we have more on deposit than we have in terms of household borrowing. So that is the element. Yeah. I think there is, you know, one of the other texts you mentioned there about the Economist. Look up, it's December the 10th. They include us, as I say, second after Spain last year. But, you know, there is a famous Economist headline from the late 80s, early 90s, that Ireland is the poorest of the rich. They ran a big spread there, showed someone begging on O'Connell Bridge as their front page. So there is this rich man, poor man view kind of from across the water. And there are certain people there who probably don't like to see some things go well.
Okay, and that's the question I have to yes, ask you. Sorry, the Economist is a British publication. Where do they put Britain in this list of countries? Because Britain is on its knees, as we know, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer has a huge problem trying to balance the books and trying to raise more taxes without frightening off the millionaire class. They're talking about all of these kind of things, and they will be raising taxes and maybe social security charges as well. Where does Britain fit?
I will have to check that for you now. In terms of it's pretty badly in most international metrics. Now, obviously, in terms of in terms of G7, it's a big economy there, and I can't see it in there. It says call up a country, and I don't see it there in terms of UK at least. So perhaps they're not including the UK either. It's other countries, United States, Uruguay. And it's not there. And I'm just checking under Great Britain. I'm sorry about this, Pat. It never occurred to me that we would be talking about our near neighbor.
Well, I'm just thinking in the post-Brexit environment, which is where the problem lies.
It certainly isn't in there. And in terms of international data banks, it would rank fairly poorly as well. It would be sort of 25 to 30, that sort of area in a general sense. I'm just looking at their rankings, and it's not anywhere in the top 20 or that. So it's maybe talk about the others, and we'll distract attention, you know. But the key element is, it is far from perfect, as all your texts are saying, but we do have the resources. Do we have the capacity to make the right decisions? That's the key element now. And there has also been a catch-up factor when people talk about poor infrastructure. Because we've gone boom and bust, we don't have the centuries of more steady progress that the likes of Switzerland or that has, where you have much better infrastructure and expectations that will always be the case. So a bit done, more to do, but definitely not as black as the Economist paints us.
Austin Hughes, Economist, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.